Everyone deserves to feel connected. That's why Cox has high-speed internet to fit any budget. For real. Learn more at cox.com/ACP. Non-transferable, one per household. Application and eligibility decisions are made by the FCC. Other restrictions apply.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. This is the program that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the National Football League. Coming up on this edition of the program, we have an interview with Soul Saint. Soul Saint is an unofficial mascot and super fan for the New Orleans Saints and a diehard member of the Who Dat Nation. On the program, we discuss his takeaways so far from the 2022 New Orleans Saints season. Also, we discuss Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas. Also, we discuss Andy Dalton, of course, head coach Dennis Allen, Jameis Winston, and we preview the Saints' next game against their NFC South rival, the Atlanta Falcons, plus a preview of Week 15 and Week 15's game pick. So definitely going to be an exciting show on this edition. And of course, Soul Saint, never a dull moment with him. We're definitely going to have a great interview with him. Of course, loving his beloved New Orleans Saints coming up on this edition of the program. In the meantime, let's get you caught up on the most important games that took place from Week 14 in the National Football League. Let's start off with the Thursday night showdown. Baker Mayfield in his debut as quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams. A come-from-behind victory, including a touchdown late in the fourth quarter, the Rams would go on to beat the Las Vegas Raiders 17-16. The New York Jets squared off against the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo would hold on to beat the Jets 20-12. The Baltimore Ravens took on the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Ravens held on to beat their AFC North rival Steelers. Final score, Ravens 16, Steelers 14. Also in the Battle of Ohio in the AFC North, the Cleveland Browns squared off against the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals hold on to beat the Browns, final score 23-10. NFC East rivals Philadelphia Eagles squared off against the New York Giants. Guess what? The Eagles continue to fly high over the NFL. They flew high over northern New Jersey as the Eagles beat the Giants 48-22. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers squared off against the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers would manhandle Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 35-7. Brock Purdy was impressive in his first NFL career start. Sunday Night Football, the Miami Dolphins squared off against the Los Angeles Chargers. Close game, but in the end, Chargers hold on to beat the Dolphins 23-17. And Monday Night Football was between the New England Patriots and the Arizona Cardinals. For Arizona, their quarterback Kyler Murray, out for the season, suffered a knee injury. Later, it was revealed that he tore his ACL. Mac Jones, along with the running game and the defense, did their part, and New England would go on to beat Arizona, final score 27-13. And those were your scores from the most important games from Week 14 in the National Football League. I want to start off with my top three storylines. I want to start off with Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy, solid quarterback at Iowa State University. And then in this year's NFL draft, in the 2022 NFL draft, he was voted as Mr. Irrelevant. For those of you that may not be familiar with the term, Mr. Irrelevant is the nickname that's given to the last pick in the NFL draft. So Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant. He was the final pick in this year's NFL draft, 262nd overall. I tell you one thing, he has become Mr. Relevant the last 2 weeks. Jimmy Garoppolo, back in week 13, suffered a foot injury. Purdy comes in and does a solid job in the fill-in role, 2 touchdown passes. Now, in his first career NFL start, going up against the GOAT, Tom Brady, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Purdy came in, handled his business, scored a rushing touchdown, also threw two touchdown passes in this game. Brock Purdy is not – the nickname for him may be Mr. Irrelevant, but like I said before, he is Mr. Relevant. And I think Brock has the tools and the skills to carry the 49ers going forward until Jimmy G returns from his foot injury. Bottom line is this, Purdy has got a great situation with him in San Francisco. He's got a running back with Christian McCaffrey. He's got solid wide receivers with George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk. Of course, Debo Samuel suffered that injury against the Buccaneers, but Debo's season is not over as it was once thought. The number one defense in the NFL, you can't go wrong with that. So everything is going Brock Purdy's way right now. He's got a great situation. Again, he's going to hold down the fort until Jimmy G comes back, and Kyle Shanahan is working with him, and Shanahan knows his talent, and definitely Jimmy G out, no problem. Brock Purdy comes in and handles his business. So it's going to be an interesting schedule for the 49ers the rest of the way, but Brock appears that he could hold his own until Jimmy G comes back. Again, we look at the last four games in the regular season at Seattle, Washington, at Las Vegas, and Arizona. The last two games are winnable. Seattle and Washington, we'll have to see. But in the meantime, Brock Purdy is definitely handling his business right now, and he's in a great situation in San Francisco. My next storyline is going to be Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray, one of the most dynamic players and quarterbacks in the league, can do it with his arm, and he can do it his legs. Unfortunately, Murray suffered a non-contact knee injury this past Monday night against the New England Patriots, and Murray was carted off the field, and he did not return. The next day, an MRI revealed that Murray tore his ACL, ending his season. This has been a roller coaster ride for Kyler Murray during his short time in Arizona, and especially during this past offseason. Of course, we know about the infamous leak of the contract that went on social media where it said that he must devote at least 4 hours to independent film study, and later that was removed from the contract, but the damage had been done already, and it went to show not just to the Cardinals organization, but a lot of people that Kyler really wasn't the guy. They paid attention and they saw the eye test and was like, he doesn't pay enough attention to film study. He's lazy and doesn't really put the work in. And so you had that embarrassment. And then on top of that, throughout much of this season in the last couple of years, him and his head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, some intense arguments, some intense conversations. And that can be a no-no at times, especially, out in the public where you're on you have a big game, you're on a worldwide television audience, and you see your quarterback and your coach getting into it. That's a recipe for disaster right there. So you've seen the push and pull and the off and on conversation between Murray and Kingsbury. And then, of course, you have the knee injury, and he'll be out for the remainder of the year tearing his ACL. Going forward, I think Kyler Murray, he'll bounce back from this injury. How fast will he be? I don't know, because when you tear an ACL, you have a knee injury for that matter. And Murray is somebody that not only depends on his arm, but also depends on his legs as well. And Murray, that injury is going to be devastating. And basically, the Cardinals season is over with. I mean, they have no hope in getting a playoff spot. Even they wouldn't dare have, they don't definitely don't have a chance of winning the NFC West division crown. But, big ups to Kyler Murray. We pray that he's on the mend and he can get back healthy and be the Kyler Murray that he was before. Questions are going to be answered in the offseason, not just with Kyler, but also the head coaching situation. Is Cliff Kingsbury the guy long term? We don't know. What about other impact players like DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt, and James Conner? We'll see what happens, but prayers go up for Kyler Murray. And my last storyline is going to be Baker Mayfield. Wow, Baker went through a roller coaster ride in Cleveland, the shoulder injury, going through several head coaches. Does he have the skills? Does he have what it takes to win big games. The potential was there, but the potential was just never unleashed in Cleveland. After, you know, after his tumultuous time in Cleveland, of course, he requested the team trade him because Cleveland got into Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. He was traded to the Carolina Panthers for a fifth-round draft pick. Things were shaky in Carolina, and he just couldn't get it going in Carolina. And he gets hurt, and then we see this carousel of quarterbacks in Carolina going from Baker Mayfield to P.J. Walker, and now Sam Darnold has his position back. And so Mayfield asked for his release, and the Los Angeles Rams claimed him off of waivers. Man, this was a statement game for Baker last Thursday night against the Las Vegas Raiders. He came in and played an effective game, including throwing the game-winning touchdown pass. Could this be the start of a redemption for Baker Mayfield? Time will only tell. But right now, just for that moment, that past Thursday night, Baker Mayfield proved a lot of critics wrong, saying that he was done and saying that, you know, his best days were behind him. And, you know, again, like I said before, the NFL is a week-to-week game. We don't know what's going to happen. But in the meantime, Baker Mayfield, I know he relished in the victory, being the Los Angeles Rams starting quarterback, beating the Las Vegas Raiders this past Thursday night. All right, when we come back from the break, I have an interview with Soul Saint, an unofficial mascot and superfan for the New Orleans Saints and a diehard member of the Who Dat Nation. In the interview, we discuss his takeaways so far from the 2022 New Orleans Saints season, plus we discuss Andy Dalton, head coach Dennis Allen, Jameis Winston, and of course, we preview the Saints' next game against the Atlanta Falcons. Soul Saint is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the League Wraparound.
Businesses need to think beyond today. That's why ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help your business find more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
It's time to recognize you, you sausage-loving genius. For without you, how would we know that Eckrich smoked sausage can be eaten thrice in one day? And that you can take your lunch break before noon?
Mm-hmm.
Here's to you, Eckrich Smoked Sausage. You do you.
This holiday season, Lexus wants you to remember. It's not just the thought that counts. It's your thought. Because no matter how much time you spend picking out the perfect gift, the only thing they'll really care about is that it's from you. Here's to experiences they'll continue to cherish. Season after season. Make this December one to remember. Together. Click the banner to discover more. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
It's an old-fashioned Griswold family Christmas at Raising Cane's.
There it is.
Celebrate with chicken fingers and cane sauce, crispy crinkle-cut fries, and garlicky buttered Texas toast. Happy Christmas from Raising Cane's and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. One love. It's an old-fashioned Griswold family Christmas at Raising Cane's.
There it is.
Celebrate an enduring tradition with kith and kin and hand-battered cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce. And introducing...
Drum roll, please.
Plush puppies that benefit local pet organizations and the gift cards that keep on giving the whole year. Happy Christmas from Raising Cane's and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. One love. If this tastes half as good as it looks, you're in for a real treat.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Businesses need to think beyond today. That's why ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help your business find more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
You're the one who protects the flock, and that requires an eye for detail. Because when safety and well-being are on the line, it's the details that can save lives. Even when no one else is watching, you see everything. Grainger gets you, and we're here for you, and all the ones who get it done with a wide range of safety products and solutions, plus board-certified safety consultants here to answer your questions. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Second and nine. With a pump fake, and then to the near side, Hill. Taysom Hill, touchdown, Saints. 4 seconds back on the clock, a minute 32 left, and this one's back. Intercepted by DeMario Davis. It'll be a 21-yard chip shot for Will Lutz. And he knocks it through. Lutz knocks it through from 29. Brady is sacked. Shai Tuttle was in there, and Tano Passanio. Brady, end zone, touchdown, Bark. Cade Otton. Dalton down the middle. Hill! Incomplete as it was knocked away by Keanu Neal. Third down. Underneath, and touchdown, Rashad White. Tie game with the extra point to come. Flag on the play. Extra point is good, but a flag is down.
1-point try was successful. Unsportsmanlike conduct leverage on New Orleans.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of Monday Night Football, ESPN, the Walt Disney Company, and the National Football League, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, on the call from week 13 of the 2022 NFL season between the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Of course, Tom Brady continuing to be the GOAT, the GOAT, the greatest of all time, pulling off that last second comeback as he threw the giving a touchdown pass to Rashad White to end the game for the Bucs to beat the Saints 17-16. And it's been a roller coaster ride of a year for the New Orleans Saints for all of the wrong reasons. To talk more about the 2022 Saints season, we want to welcome him back to the program. He is one of the unheralded members and faithful members of the Who Dat Nation and one of the unofficial mascots of the NFL's beloved New Orleans Saints. Let's welcome him back. Give it up for my main man, Soul Saint. What's going on, my man?
Hey, what's happening? What's happening? Saints plus Soul equals Super Bowl 23.
Okay. Aha, that's what's up, my man. That's what's up. Thank you so much. But taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Mm-hmm. So, Soul Saint, my man, what are your takeaways from this season so far?
Well, I'm going to just say this. You know, in the beginning, you know, well, first of all, let me say this. You know, you really appreciate, you know, Sean Payton, you know, now that he's gone and you realize how much he's been missed, you know, to have a good coach every week going into a game is something that we never had to worry about. You know, good coaching, somebody who the players want to play for, somebody that, you know, motivates them to play and they want to play for, you know, and we don't have that right now with D.A. And, you know, and like I said, and not just that, you know, the other things, the quarterback situation, the way they're doing Jameis Winston. Andy Dalton is okay. You know, he plays good at times. You know, he's not consistent. You know, I don't think he's a consistently franchise quarterback type or a starter. But he's a good, you know, a good solid backup. You know, if your quarterback goes out a week or 2 weeks, you know, he's good to fill in. But we just have just so many things have been against us this year. It's just been crazy. It's just been, you know, I mean, it's 1 year you want to forget.
Indeed it is. And you mentioned one of the key elements of the New Orleans Saints' success for over a decade, and that's Peyton. And I want to talk about, just for a moment, Alvin Kamara. Alvin, you know, one of the top running backs in the NFL, but, man, he hasn't had a good season this year. Just give me your thoughts on AK-41 and his play in 2022.
Well, I feel that Kamara I feel that, you know, he just had so much. You know, in the past, you know, Kamara knew he had a good quarterback. He had, you know, the offense was clicking on all cylinders. Now it's like, well, you know, I feel like I maybe have to put the team on my back. And that's been real hard because we've been having problems with the offensive line. We've been getting beat in the trenches. So we haven't had any holes. I think the play calling has been bad for him. You know, he was so used to Drew Brees getting the ball to him in the flat, in space, to where he can make a move and go downfield. If you notice now, when he gets that screen pass, it's late, and he's getting hit in the back. He's taking unnecessary hits, you know. So I think it's just a toll. It's taking a toll on him, his body, and his mental, you know. And I think that's what causes those, you know, it's just – this, I don't think he's happy, you know. And when you're not happy, you don't play well.
I want to stay just with Alvin for a moment. Do you think what's happened with his off-the-field issues recently, do you think that's had an impact, as you said, made an impact on his mental?
No, I don't think that too much. I think that just the fact of losing, just the fact of losing your coach, losing your quarterback that you came in with. You know, when he was drafted, he came in, Drew Brees, man, and they clicked. You know, Drew Brees got him the ball out the backfield, you know, and we were winning, you know, and that's the thing. You know, winning brings enthusiasm. Winning brings you, you know, just ups your play, you know, and I think that's why I don't think he's worried about too much about the offseason antics. Well, the incident that happened in Las Vegas, if that's what you're talking about, I don't think, you know, he's worried too much about that. You know, I think he'll deal with that in the off season, and, you know, he might get a suspension for next year. He might be suspended the first six games, four games or whatever. But I think he's mainly focused on this year. And I think, you know, he's not really worrying about that till next year.
All right. And speaking of being an impact player for a minute for the New Orleans Saints, wide receiver Michael Thomas. It has been a minute since we've seen Michael. The last time we really saw him play a full season was 2020, the COVID year. And since then, you know, he's battled injuries. And we thought we would see more of Michael Thomas this year, but that's not the case. He's shutting it down for the remainder of the year due to a devastating toe injury. Just give me your thoughts on Michael and where his mental is right now.
Well, you know, that's a big question mark on a lot of things with Michael Thomas. You know, we thought that maybe he didn't want to play. Maybe he didn't want to be here. But then he showed he did want to be here. You know, the first week he was dynamic. I mean, he was aggressive. I mean, that drive where him and Jameis Winston brought the Saints back and we won that game, man, I said, oh, it's going to be a good year. You know, then we have the toe issue. And, you know, I mean, just coming off the knee issue. And, you know, I'm really, you know, I know Saints fans are getting fed up with Michael Thomas and everything, but, you know, with the injuries and everything. But you have to understand, you know, I mean, if he's hurt, he's hurt. I really think in my heart, you know, he wants to play. You know, I really think that, you know, it's a certain quarterback he wants to play for. And I think it's Jameis Winston, you know. And it might have something to do with it that Jameis got hurt and Jameis is not playing. You know, all that might come into effect. So you don't really know what's going on. I would like to sit down with Michael Thomas and talk to him myself and just ask him, you know, what's really going on? Is it really, you know, an issue with your toe? And, you know, I mean, or you just shut it down because, you know, because of Jameis not, you know, you don't know. So, you know, but hopefully we can't do nothing with him. We can't trade him or anything like that because, like I say, he's ours. And if we trade him, we're going to have to, you know, still pay him that money. So, you know, hopefully he'll come back next year. We'll figure out the quarterback situation and Michael Thomas will team up with Olave. And I don't know if Jarvis is going to be here, but Olave, man, that is – well, I guess we'll talk about that, but that's one bright spot on the Saints this year.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We definitely going to talk about Chris Olave in just a little bit. I want to stay just with Michael for a moment. Do you think he wants to be in New Orleans for the long haul? Or, as you mentioned, you were saying that he feels comfortable with Jameis being the signal caller. But do you think he wants to be in New Orleans for the long haul? Or do you think he wants a fresh start somewhere else?
Well, sometimes you have to be a detective. And if you think about it, you remember last year when Jameis got hurt in the Tampa Bay game. Michael was on the sideline. He was ready to come back, you know. Then when Jameis went down with that season-ending injury, Michael declared that, hey, I'm going to be out for the rest of the season. I'm not coming back. So, you know, you look at that and you say, you know. Then you look at this year and you say to yourself, well, you know, he played in the Atlanta game. Him and Jameis Winston was in sync. They played pretty good. Then, you know, all of a sudden Jameis, you know, he's not, you know, coming back. He's not starting. They're starting Andy Dalton. And Michael Thomas is dealing with the toe injury. Then all of a sudden they say, okay, well, he's going to have surgery on that toe and he's going to be out for the rest of the season. You know, it just seems ironic. You know, it just seems funny. You know, but I really think he wants to be here. But like I said, he wants to have somebody that he's confident in at the quarterback position.
All right, and then let's stay with wide receivers for a moment. Chris Olave, man, the Saints and the Ohio State University, they've enjoyed a partnership for quite a long time now. And Chris Olave was a shining star at the Ohio State University. And, man, he has made some dynamic catches in his 2022 season for the Saints.
Oh,
just give
me
your thoughts on Chris and his play.
Oh, man, Chris has been a bright spot. You know, I think Chris was the best wide receiver that came out the draft. You know, I know you have the guy from Alabama, you know, that with the knee injury, and we waiting to see what he's going to do. But right now, Olave is leading in a lot of categories as far as rookie wide receivers coming out this year. And he's been our only bright spot. Don't matter who's at quarterback, you know, he's making his catches. He's running crisp routes. He's holding on. Dude had one drop and 92 targets. I mean, that's awesome. That right there is awesome. Some veterans don't have them stats, you know. So it just shows you that this guy is the future with the Saints. If he stays healthy, he's going to be able to team up with Michael Thomas, you know, and we hope Michael is come back healthy. And that'll be a good wide receiver tandem. You know, the guy's awesome. You know, that's one of the best picks the Saints had in the first round in the last couple of years.
Yeah, they definitely upgraded their stock on the offensive side, drafting Chris Olave. That was big, knowing the history of New Orleans Saints wide receivers in recent history.
Yeah.
That was definitely a big step up for the NOLA. And I want to stay just with some more of the Saints receivers for a moment. You mentioned his name earlier, Jarvis Landry. Jarvis was tough as nails when he played with Miami and Cleveland. First year with the Saints, he only signed a one-year contract, but it hasn't gone the way he thought it was going to be. You know, kind of a local guy, grew up just down the road, right around in the Lutcher area. But Jarvis signed a one-year deal, injured most of the year. Just give me your thoughts on Jarvis and his 2022 season so far.
Well, I'm a big fan of Jarvis Landry, especially when he was with LSU. He's an LSU guy. I'm big LSU fan. Him, Odell, Devery Henderson. But, you know, like I said, you know, he came into this year. He runs some of the best routes. He's one of the best route runners. He's not the fastest guy, but he gets open, you know, and that's one thing that he has. He has a knack for getting open. You just have to have a quarterback that's going to put the ball there when he gets open. He's going to have the ball there, you know, for him. So he has to have a good quarterback. People like that's not too fast and that run crisp routes have to have good, accurate quarterbacks, you know. So I think, you know, with the injuries, that's unfortunate, you know, the injuries that he's had. And I don't know. I would love to have him back, you know, because, like I said, you know, he's a – first down type wide receiver, get to that first down. So I mean, I would love to have him back, but, you know, I know he's getting older, you know, and, you know, I just hope that he can stay injury-free. That's the thing on Jarvis.
Yeah, Jarvis has been hampered by a lot of injuries, even during his time in both Miami and Cleveland. He was hoping that he could turn the tide for the Saints this year. That hasn't happened so far, but we'll see. You never know. And you mentioned that Jarvis, not a speed runner, but he's a great route runner. But two guys that are very fast for the Saints, Marquez Callaway and Tre'Quan Smith. Now, Tre'Quan is effective when he's healthy. Marquez, I see a lot of Saints games, and every time I see the ball thrown Callaway's way, he outruns the route sometimes. I'm like, Marquez was open. He outran the ball. But, I mean, those two gentlemen are fast. Just give me your thoughts on Marquez and Tre'Quan in their 2022 season.
You're right. Marquez Callaway hasn't been too consistent. He hasn't had a lot of time on the field. That's why I couldn't understand, you know, going back to the play calling for a minute in the Tampa game, you know, when Mark Ingram stepped out of bounds early, so we had a third and one, and then you throw a slant play to Callaway, who hasn't been in the game all day. He's cold as ice. You know, I didn't understand that. That play call was terrible. You know, but I think, you know, Marcus did play good. Marquez did play good, you know, last year. When Jameis was quarterbacking, he had some nice catches. So, you know, I don't know. Like you said, he's not consistent. So, you know, we don't know his future as far as with the Saints. Now, Tre'Quan, on the other hand, Tre'Quan shows up, but he can't stay healthy. And, you know, and by now, Tre'Quan should have made an impact on his team. He's been here too long, you know, to still be third, fourth, fifth-string wide receiver, you know. So I don't know. I think Tre'Quan's days are numbered also, you know, as far as at the wide receiver position. But we do have a few bright spots on this team with rookies and free agents, and I think they just need to play them.
All right, and speaking of a rookie, a guy who's become a cult hero in New Orleans, a rookie wide receiver, Rashid Shaheed. I mean, Rashid has been a dual threat at the receiving position and also as a return specialist. I mean, Rashid, as I said earlier, has been a cult hero for a lot of Saints fans and all around the New Orleans area. Just give me your thoughts on Rashid in his 2022 rookie season so far.
Yes, Rashid has been a bright spot. You know, this guy – I mean, the first time he touched the ball, first two times he touched the ball, touchdown. You know what I'm saying? So, and they've been getting the ball to him a little more. He had, I think, 18-20-yard average last week on his four or five catches he had. So, you know, just got to get the ball to him, you know, get the ball to him and watch him go. You know, I think he's fast. He runs good routes. He has that burst, you know, he has good hands. So, you know, that's another up and coming. Like I said, the old guys, we're going to clear things out, and not only the coaching staff, but we're going to find out, you know, who we need to put on the field. And you know, Rashid, Olave, hopefully Michael Thomas, you know, that's your 1, 2, and 3. I think Rashid has worked his way up. You know, I think he'll be that number three wide receiver for the Saints.
Tight ends I want to talk about for a moment. Adam Trautman and Juwan Johnson. Trautman, a solid tight end, great blocker, but he's been hurt most of the year. But Juwan Johnson has been really the security blanket for both Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton this year. I mean, Juwan on the depth chart, they have him as a tight end, but he runs routes like a wide receiver. Just give me your thoughts on Adam and Juwan in their season so far.
Well, Trautman, we all say it on my show. You know, we talked about him last year, and we talked about him this year. We said his days are numbered. You know, Adam Trautman had a lot of drops. You know, if he catched the ball and got hit, he would fumble. You know, he just wasn't consistent and wasn't tough, you know. And then he would, you know, at the end of the season, he made a good run, and he had a couple of good hard catches and things like that, and he's had the injury bug also. But Juwan Johnson, let me tell you about Juwan. I met him at the Saints camp, and he's a big guy, muscular guy. And he was a wide receiver. You know, they beefed him up. And I think all he would have to do to be that number one wide receiver is work on his blocking technique. You know, work on his blocking a little better. But I think he is the future at tight end. If he stays healthy, I think Juwan Johnson is going to be the same starting tight end. You know, I've seen a lot of good highlights from him. I remember the last couple of weeks, he was the only one that scored for us. You know, that Andy Dalton found to get open. He runs good routes. He's strong, and he can catch the ball. So I think Juwan Johnson has a bright future here with the Saints.
Yeah, Juwan has definitely come up in some big clutch moments in the 2022 season for the Saints. It definitely, as you said, the future is definitely bright for him. And I want to get now to the offensive line for a moment. Teron Armstead didn't re-sign with the team, winds up going to Miami as a result of free agency. So Ryan Ramczyk, he's really been the all-pro for the Saints offensive line. Give me your thoughts on Ryan and his season so far.
Well, Ryan, you know, we know Ryan as an all-pro, one of the best right tackles in the league. This year, he's been having a few issues. You look at, I'm trying to think what defensive end it was that was killing him a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, he's been getting deep. And I think it all comes down to the same thing, just having enthusiasm, you know, for the team, just wanting to play for your coach. You know, you have to understand these guys had Sean Payton, you know. And these guys are not that old, man. Some of these guys are kids, you know. Anybody in their 20s, you know, early 30s, I still say that they're still young. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, they still have that mindset, you know, of, hey, they've been doing this all their life, been playing football. So when you have a coach that you don't want to play for, it doesn't motivate you to play. You know, it brings down your play. You know, you're not going to give him your all. And that's the way I feel a lot of the Saints players, you know, feel. You know what I'm saying? Look at DeMario, man. You know, and hate to go to defense, but I just want to just set an example. He was our leading tackler every year. DeMario has been, and you, don't get me wrong, they've been sending double teams at him and things like that. You know, but two tackles a game, he's still one of the best middle linebackers. But, you know, like I said, with Ramczyk, going back to Ramczyk, penalties, getting beat, you know. Now, and the guy on the other side is even more terrible, Hurst. So we hope Trevor Penning, you know. But then the deal with Trevor Penning is, you know, he's so aggressive and he gets mad till he might do something to get us a penalty. So, you know, and he needs to work. He's a run blocker. Run blocking, he's a beast. But pass blocking, Trevor Penning is a little, you know, he needs to work on that. But Hurst is just, to me, is just terrible. Hurst is just terrible. So hopefully, you know, we will work on that offensive line.
Man, you mentioned Trevor Penning. I guess if Marshawn Lattimore is the aggressive one on the on the secondary, Trevor Penning would be the one on the offensive line. And you know what, Sol, we mentioned about aggressiveness and the injuries. Trevor Penning has been hurt, and his aggressiveness, as you mentioned, has gotten him in trouble, but the injuries have hampered the Saints' offensive line. Eric McCoy, Cesar Ruiz, Andres Pete having the foot issues, and also Calvin Throckmorton has had some injuries as well. Just give me your thoughts on those guys in their 2022 season.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Cesar Ruiz, man, everybody was down on him. You know, he was the one that let Kentavious Street come in and almost kill Drew Brees, you know, on a misassignment. But, hey, he has stepped up big this year, and he's playing a lot better. It looked like he just took a 360-degree turn, and he's playing real good right now, real solid. Eric McCoy is always solid. You know, you just, you know, injuries is going to happen, you know. And, you know, that's where it comes down to the Saints medical staff you know, getting the right, you know, diagnosis on these guys and doing the right thing and not waiting too long, man. That's what's been killing us, you know, the medical staff, the, you know, the trainers and things like that, and getting diagnosed wrong, you know. And that has been with the history of the Saints, man. I talked to a lot of guys that came on my show, man. The little guy, number 40, cornerback, I forgot his name, but you know who I'm talking about. Roman Harper, left back, Keenan Lewis, all these guys complain about the medical staff. So, you know, as far as that offensive line, I love McCoy. McCoy in that middle, he's solid, okay? Pete just have to stay healthy. Pete just have to get a little more enthusiastic. You never see Pete giving high fives. You never see Pete, yes, giving fist pumps. You know, it looked like Pete's just out there. Just, you know, I'm just making money. I'm going to make my money and go home. You know, if you look, you never see him enthusiastic on that line. Never. So, you know, that's a problem for me. But as far as Throgmorton, you know, he's okay. But my guys, like I said, you know, that interior line is very important. And the tackles are very important, too, especially that blind side, especially that left tackle position, you know, with Hurst and Trevor over there. Because, you know, like I said, Jameis is right-handed. Andy Dalton is right-handed. So you don't know. You can't see that rusher coming from that side. So that's an important piece that we need to, you know, and I even said once, and somebody else mentioned that maybe we should move Ramczyk over there because he's the best of our tackles. But, you know, like I said, he's a mainstay on that right side. We just have to, you know, find the right person for that left tackle position.
All right, as somebody that's been extremely important to the New Orleans Saints since the Drew Brees and Sean Payton era, is Taysom Hill. And Taysom Hill is, for the moment, the highest paid quarterback in the NFL that was moved to the tight end position for this season. And Taysom has been really a player of all trades, not just a jack of all trades, but a player of all trades. Mm-hmm. Quarterback, tight end, yeah. Wide receiver, you name it. He's been that Swiss Army knife. Give me your thoughts on right. Taysom and his season so far.
Well, I've always said that Taysom is not a starting quarterback. It's not a franchise quarterback. Taysom is a good gadget guy, and that's what I love him as. You know, Inspector Gadget, that was his name given because he does so many things, you know, on the punt team, on the kickoff team, you know. He just does so much. I would even put a package in for him holding for field goals and doing maybe a fake field goal with him because he has a lot of speed. You know, and, you know, one game, it was all Taysom, you know. I think that was when we beat the Raiders, maybe, where he scored all the touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you look at that and you say, well, you know, Taysom is good to have. It's always good to have that extra weapon, you know, that extra guy, you know, that the defense has to worry about. So, you know, I'm very – him being a starting wide receiver, and I've noticed we went to him on big plays that we needed. You know, you look at the San Francisco game, ball right in his hands. He missed it. Okay, you look at the game that we just lost against Tampa. He caught the ball, but, you know, you got to hold on to that. Don't get me wrong. The defensive player made a good hit on the ball, you know, and knocked it loose. But, you know, plays like that, you know you're going to come down and get hit. You've got to catch that ball, and you've got to, hey, protect that ball. Can't carry it like a loaf of bread. And but like I say, I'm happy with Taysom. I love Taysom. Just not as a starting quarterback. Continue to do what he's doing.
Yeah, I want to stay just with Taysom for a moment. One of the cool things about Sean Payton when he was the head coach of the New Orleans Saints is that he was able to get players involved in the offense, whereas if they were playing on other teams, they may have not had the opportunity to start or maybe even an opportunity to play. That's what he did with Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush was a north, south, east, west type of guy. But Taysom, he was always able to get Taysom involved in the offense come hella high water. I wanted to ask you, do you think if Taysom played on another NFL team, do you think he would have been as successful, or do you think he just would have been a bench warmer?
It depends. I mean, it depends if that other team used him like we used. You know, like I said, Taysom's good. He's effective if you use him different ways. You know, he's very strong. He's fast. You know, he's a beast. You know, he runs over people. And, you know, with those things, that mentality, you can't have that as a starting quarterback. You'll be out in no time with concussions and things like that. So, you know, and, you know, he doesn't read defense as well. And his deep ball is terrible. You know, all the muscles, you know, you think, well, damn, Taysom ought to be able to throw the ball out the dome. But that's not the case. If you look at most of his deep balls, it's always late. The running back has to always wait for it. You know what I'm saying? A couple of balls he threw across the middle on time, yeah, 10, 15, 20-yard, rockets, he's good at that. But as far as being a quarterback, no, that's not Taysom. But him playing on another team, if they use him like the Saints use him, I mean, of course. He's just, you know, I mean, he's just like a added gift, you know, for a team, an added weapon, you know. And if they use him like that, I'm sure he would, you know, he would make it on any NFL team. They can try him at quarterback if they want, but, you know, I don't think it'll work.
All right, and I want to move along now to the defensive side of the ball. I want to start off with Cam Jordan. Cam is on his way to being a future Hall of Famer, and definitely he's been one of those stand-up guys, not just on the defensive side, but just for the Saints during his time with the team, just being consistent year in and year out. Give me your thoughts on Cam and his play this season.
I love Cam, man. You know, and he's like I said, both. Well, I'm not going to talk about nobody. I'm going to talk about Cam. You know, when we started the season, he was a little missing, you know, missing in action, you know. But he turned it up, and he's had a couple of good games. He's always been solid. He's always been injury-free. That's one guy. Of all his years, his first game he missed due to injury was this year. You know, that just shows you how durable and tough he is. And anytime you have that, you know, on your defensive line, that's a plus, you know. So I think Cam has a little gas left in the tank, maybe another year or two, you know, if we want to, you know, keep him around. But, you know, I love Cam. You know, Cam Jordan is a true NFL player. He's on and off the, you know, on and off the field. He's a good guy on and off the field. And I like Cam very much, man.
All right, and I want to talk about the secondaries for the Saints. And, man, it's been an interesting year for these guys, Paulson Adebo.
Paulson Adebo has had his sophomore slump this year. He's been penalized a lot. He's been beat a lot. He's been missing tackles. And, you know, that was a plus. You know, he was a good tackler. But Paulson Adebo has been having a pretty down year this year. To say his rookie season was way better, you know. So, you know, I'm hoping that things change. And in his third season next year, maybe Paulson can pick it up. But I like a rookie cornerback. And I know you're going to bring his name up in a few. I think he's the future alongside Marshawn Lattimore. But Paulson, hey, bro, you got to step it up, dog, because, hey, you've had a sophomore slump this year.
All right. I will bring him up in just a moment, but I want to bring up the person that you mentioned earlier, and that's Marshawn Lattimore. I mean, we talked about Trevor Penning and his aggressiveness on the offensive line, but Marshawn Lattimore, his aggressiveness in the secondary, not a great year. In 2022, give me your thoughts on Marshawn and his play.
Yeah, Marshawn, you know, let me say, Marshawn is a Pro Bowl corner, a good corner, good solid cornerback. You know, he has to control his temper. He gets into it, especially with Tampa. He doesn't like Mike Evans of Tampa Bay. We all know that. You know, and he almost cost us to lose that Atlanta game in the beginning of the season with that penalty. You can't do that. You can't do stuff like that. Come on, Marshawn. You gotta, you know, you gotta control yourself. And that's one thing that, you know, that any player has to do. You can't hurt your team with penalties, you know, and stuff like that. You know, that just cannot happen. But as far as Marshawn, I think he's only going to get better. You know, I think he's only going to get better. He has mistakes sometimes. He might hold at times. But all cornerbacks do that. You know, I don't know a cornerback in the league that doesn't hold at times. They just, you know, they just call it when they want to call it. And on the Saints, believe me, it's always in a crucial time. But I think Marshawn will be all right. I hope he gets back soon. To be honest, I would just shut him down for the season. It doesn't make sense for the guy to come back and we can't really do nothing, you know. But, you know, if there's a possibility we could still maybe win the NFC South, and that's the only way we can make the playoffs, you know, because Tampa is poop. So we'll see see what happens with that.
Yeah, not just Tampa. The whole division has been poo this year, man. It's just, ooh, boy, NFC South, man. That play has been drifting south. You mentioned his name, the rookie, Alante Taylor. I know you got a lot to say about him, so the floor is yours. Alante Taylor, what do you make of him?
Well, look, like I said, man, this guy and, you know, my guy that was on my show with me, Mike Tannehill Jr., he said the same thing at the beginning of the season, that he saw something in Alante Taylor. And one thing I love about him is his enthusiasm, his fire, his tackling. Oh, man. You know, and he, like I say, he had speed, his technique. He had a play where the ball was thrown deep, man. And guess what? What they always tell cornerbacks. When you see the receiver's eyes open wide, you know the ball's in the air, you need to turn around and look for the ball. And it's amazing because you got to tell some of these veteran corners, why didn't you look back for the ball? You know you're going to get a P.I., so why not look back for the ball, you know? So he's very instinctive, you know. Now, with one game, he had a bunch of penalties, but like I say, he's a rookie, so he's learning. But I see a lot in this guy. I see, hey, I think he's going to be our number two corner opposite Marshawn. I really do. I really see a lot in this guy, and he has a bright future also.
All right, well, we go from bright to being very dim this season. Chris Harris Jr., Marcus Maye, Bradley Roby, Daniel Sorensen, T.J. Williams, and, man, I had a lot of high hopes for Mr. Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, man, they've been sliced and diced this year. Just give me your thoughts on these guys and their season.
The Honey Badger hasn't been what we thought he would be. We have seen, you know, at certain times, you know, we've seen glimpses of his greatness being a safety. But one thing about Honey Badger, I think Honey Badger needs to play, as far as up on the line, I don't think he needs to play close to the line of scrimmage. I think Honey Badger's best playing that center field, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I think Marcus Maye does more of that, you know. And Marcus Maye has not been what we thought he would be. So, you know, I think our whole secondary, losing Marcus Williams at hurt, losing the veteran, what's his name? You know who I'm talking about. We had Malcolm Jenkins. Losing him, I think it hurt us, you know. I think it hurt us, you know. But we're going to have to deal with it. We signed these guys, and we stuck with them. So hopefully they'll get better. But, you know, and everybody else, J.T. Gray, I remember he played a game and was toasted. You know, and Harris Jr. Toast, you know. So, you know, that's one thing we need to work on. is our secondary, man. We need to work on our secondary. But I think at cornerback, 1 and 2, I think we'll be okay in the future. We just got to work and try to, you know, move around some pieces and find our best fit for that secondary, man, to be effective.
All right, and then now we talk. You mentioned about finding the best piece. It has been trouble at the quarterback position this year. The Saints haven't found their piece at the quarterback position. Andy Dalton. We know Andy, many seasons, playoff appearances in Cincinnati, also had a little run for a short time in Dallas. And let's just say in New Orleans, it hasn't gone the way he thought it would. It's been an interesting year for him. I know you got a lot to say about him. So give me your thoughts on Andy and his play this year.
Well, I'm not going to say too much about Andy. You know, like I said, he is what he is. And, you know, Andy had his time. You know, he played for Cincinnati. He had some good receivers there. He could only do so much. When it came to the playoffs and moving the team to the Super Bowl, you know, he hasn't been able to do that, you know. And I really feel in my heart that Jameis Winston, I still have faith in Jameis. I feel like Jameis can still do the job. He just has to have a chance to do it when he's healthy. You know, he hasn't been healthy. You know, he came off a knee injury. He played in the Tampa game, got hurt, had the fractured back, you know, and lost his job, which I really feel was wrong. You know, I really feel that was a wrong move by D.A., and that made a lot of Saints fans upset because when you get hurt due to injury and you're the starting quarterback, once you're better and able to play, you should get your starting position back. You know, look at Dak Prescott. He went out. Rush came in, won 3-4 games. Soon as Dak was healthy, came back in. Okay? Drew Brees, Bridgewater, won 5 straight games. Soon as Drew Brees got better, he was able to come back and get his job back. You shouldn't lose your job due to injury. And that's just the way I feel because I know Jameis is healthy enough to play. He's not 100%, but I think he's around 80%. And I think that 80% can do better than Andy Dalton. I really think he could pump up the team and get those players rallied around him. You look at Dalton. Dalton doesn't do too much rallying as far as the players, getting the players pumped up, getting the players excited, ready to play. You know, Jameis Winston is a people guy. He's a player guy. You know what I'm saying? And I think that those guys would play, you know, if not for D.A., they'll play for Jameis. You know, and that's what I'm upset about. So I'm hoping that, you know, even though we don't have that much to play for, I still want to give him these last 4 games, Jameis Winston, just to see where we go at the end of the season, just to see what direction we go in. You know, do we have to go and try to get a first or second round pick and try to pick up a quarterback in the draft? Do we go get a free agent quarterback? What do we do? You know, so I would love to see that, but. You know, but like I said, haven't been happy with the quarterback position. Andy Dalton has played good at times, but not consistent. You know, 1 week, 20 or 28, good job. Next week, trash. So it is what it is.
Yeah, definitely it is what it is. And it's just been a roller coaster for Andy. We're going to get more into him a little bit later. But head coach Dennis Allen, D.A., I mean – New Orleans Saints fans were in an uproar with Sean Payton's sudden retirement that happened back in January, and Dennis Allen would be named as the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. We know about his previous head coaching stint with the Raiders. That didn't turn out well, and we're seeing the results in his first year. Going from defensive coordinator to head coach, it has been a dumpster fire times 10. I know you got a lot to say, so just give us your thoughts on D.A.
Oh, man. D.A. coordinator. Defensive coordinator only. That's D.A. Head coach? No. I don't think D.A. should be a head coach. He's not head coach material. He has a 4-win average being a coach. You know, the most he's accumulated is 4 wins. And where are we right now? 4 wins. So what that takes?
4 wins.
You know what I'm saying? One thing about him, he's not enthusiastic. He doesn't motivate his players. He doesn't get in their ass when they mess up. You look at Andy Dalton at the end of that Houston game when he threw 2 pick sixes right before the half. He said in the interview, he said, hey, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. So, you know, I mean, that showed me right there that, you know, this guy is not head coach material. You know, and we've been trying to petition and do this and do that to get rid of Andy Dalton. The Saints are going to be in trouble if Andy Dalton stays the coach. You know, as far as moving him back to defensive coordinator, that might work if we got a good head coach. But we need to find a head coach. That should be our first and foremost thing that we need to do when this season is over.
All right, and of course, you mentioned his name earlier, Jameis Winston. Jameis has been through so much in his time, his short amount of time in New Orleans, and he's been, as you said, he's been the emotional leader. The guy has really taken the charge, even with him being hurt, being on the bench, being the emotional leader, being the guy to pick up his players and you know, being a master motivator. Give me your thoughts on Jameis and his 2022 campaign and just how he's handling this situation the best way he knows how.
Well, you know, I had a chance to talk to Jameis, man. You know, and I told him, I said, we were praying for him and we wish him the best. And, you know, and he's really hurt. You know, he's really hurt. But one thing about him, he's a good guy. He's going to continue supporting his team, supporting who's their quarterback. But deep down, he's hurt. You know, he's hurt that, you know, that the job was taken away from him due to injury, you know. And I'm hurt for him. And like he said, you know, he says he prays about it, he prays on it, and he's just hoping that he'll get his chance to show the world what he can do, you know, when he's, you know, and especially if he's healthy. He said himself he shouldn't have played in the Tampa game, you know. And, you know, and like I said, I still have faith in him. I still have belief that Jameis can lead this team and win with this team. You know, I really do. I have a lot of faith in Jameis, and I like him as a person and a player.
All right. I want to stay just with Jameis for a moment. Jameis signed a 2-year contract during the offseason, so next year will be the final year of his 2-year deal. Do you see Jameis wanting to come back to New Orleans next year, or do you see him after all the events that have happened and kind of the emotional toll it's taken on him, he would ask to be traded or ask for a release?
Well, Jameis wanted to be here. You know, Indianapolis wanted him, and they had a better contract than the Saints had on the table, but he wanted to be in New Orleans. You know, he wanted to face his team, his old team twice a year to show them that they shouldn't have got rid of him. So, you know, I think he wants to be here, and I really would love him to be healthy and give him another shot in training camp to win the starting job again. Really, I don't think he should have to win it. I think he should be really given the starting job. I think he should have been given his starting job back after he was healthy enough to play this season. So, you know, Jameis, you know, people don't know, but, you know, and I'm sure the Saints fans know the diehard. He has a winning record, y'all, you know, with the Saints. Andy Dalton doesn't, okay? None of these other quarterbacks have a winning record except for Drew Brees. So, you know, that should tell you right there. At least Jameis wins. He wins games, you know. So give him the opportunity to show this team, this city, the NFL, that, hey, he can lead this Saints team and win games, you know, and be productive, you know, and you know, take us where we need to go, and that's to try to get another Super Bowl ring. I think he can do it. I really do.
Yeah, his commitment to New Orleans is undeniable, and he wanted to come back. Of course, the Saints had a shot in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, and as you mentioned, the Indianapolis Colts were interested in him, and Watson winds up going to Cleveland. Winston decides he wants to come back to New Orleans, so hopefully Jameis can have maybe one last chance in New Orleans and try to, as they say, right this wrong and try to turn things around. And I want to get on to the next thing as far as Saints fans are concerned. I mean, this D.A. And Andy and Jameis thing has been wild this year. How have fans handled this situation?
It's been tough. It's been tough for fans. You know, it really has this year. You know, you're seeing a lot of the other team's fans in the dome. And what does that mean? That means Saints fans are selling their tickets. A lot of people was on me because I wasn't at the Dallas game. You know, and the reason I wasn't there is because, you know, I had a family issue. You know, Soul Saint don't miss no games. You know, I'm ride or die, you know. I love my team, love my city. I'm always going to, you know, be there to, you know, support my guys. But it's been hard. It's been real hard, man. People have been, you know, asking for DA's head. They want DA out of here. You know, a lot of people are okay with Andy Dalton. A lot of people are okay and want Jameis Winston. It's a lot of mixed feelings. A lot of mixed feelings. And, you know, some of those feelings are other things. You know, I don't want to say it, but we all know, you know, like I said, when it comes to a black quarterback, white quarterback, you know, you have those problems also. But, you know, I really feel, you know, it's been mixed. It's been mixed feelings as far as the Saints Nation. You have the true diehards, the true super fans that love this team no matter what, and whoever's at quarterback, they're going to support. Just like I say, you know, I say if they put Taysom at quarterback, I'm going to still support my team, you know. I mean, I wouldn't be happy with it, but, you know, I'm going to support them, and I'm going to continue to be a Saints fan, a Saints super fan. So, there you go.
All right, well, thank you for that answer. And let's move along now. So I know your fandom's going to be strong for the Saints' next game in Week 15 against the NFC South longtime rival Atlanta Falcons. I want to start off with the Saints' defensive side for a moment. The Falcons had a bye week. They would wind up losing the week in Week 13. But we know about the Falcons with Marcus Mariota. Of course, Cordarrelle Patterson is their all-world running back, but he can do so much for them. And, of course, they have Drake London, their rookie wide receiver. What do you think are going to be the keys to victory for the Saints defense to stop Atlanta's offense?
Well, one thing that we might but to be honest, we haven't been playing good against rookies, and that's rookie quarterbacks. I heard that Ritter might be starting. You know, so we might not be going against Mariota this time. We might be going against Damon Ritter, whatever his name is, the rookie. So we'll see, you know. But as far as Cordarrelle Patterson, he's a problem. You know, he's a problem. He's fast, he's strong, he's big, and he ran like crazy on us in week one. You know, he ran like crazy on us, you know. So we got to shut him down. You know, that's one key. We have to shut him down. Now, we won't have to worry about Kyle Pitts. He's injured. As far as London, London's a good rookie receiver. He's a good receiver when he came out of college. So, you know, he's always going to be a weapon for them. But I think, you know, we're going to take care of business against the Atlanta Falcons in our dome, even though both teams are really – You know, I'm not going to say we're not playing for nothing because you don't know what Tampa's going to do. Tampa might lose another game. And then, hey, guess what? It's a scramble in the NFC South to try to win that division and maybe get a playoff game. You know, it's crazy. You know, so we'll see. But I think Atlanta, as far as Atlanta concerned, I wrote a song, Coming to Get You, and it was based on playing Atlanta Falcons. I don't know if you heard it. me and Jada Whitley. But I'm gonna send you that song. Maybe you want to play it. But if you watch the video, we have a Atlanta fan in the video. He's standing there in the middle, shaking his head, and we rapping all around him and messing with him and stuff like that. But I think we're gonna take care of business against Atlanta this week. I don't think it's gonna be a problem, man. That pride, you know what I'm saying? We want to beat Atlanta's ass.
All right, and I want to move along now to the other side of the ball, the Saints offense. What do you think is going to be the keys to victory for Saints offense to get points against Atlanta's defense?
I think we need more Taysom this week. You know, I'd be saying to myself, I say, damn, when they need to use Taysom, they don't. On that third and one against Tampa, why not have Taysom on the center? Straight ahead, boom, first down. Okay, I don't think they could have stopped. You know what I'm saying? The fullback, Prentiss, could have been something like that. Like I said, we have to use more Taysom. You know they're going to be coming. They're going to be blitzing. So D.A. and Carmichael have to figure out a good game plan, good offensive game plan. On the defensive end, like we said, you know, we got to take care of business. I think we'll take care of business, especially if that rookie's in there. We're going to do well against them. But offensively, I think the Saints, we continue to use Kamara, try to get him in space, try to get him quickly in space to where he can make a move, you know, make a guy miss, gain some yardage, you know, stuff like that. And I know that Olave is going to continue to excel and play good. Barring injury, he's going to play well. Jarvis should be playing this week. I don't know if Juwan's back, but I think the game plan, Carmichael just needs to call a good game plan against these guys. And one thing we cannot do, and that's put the ball on the ground. No interceptions, no turnovers. And I think we'll be okay. You know, we hold on to the ball, take care of the ball, move the ball, use Taysom. I think we'll be okay.
All right, solid. And you heard it from him. He is Soul Saint, one of the diehard members of the Who Dat Nation, and definitely a guy that loves his Saints and looking forward to the Saints handling their business against their longtime rival, Atlanta Falcons. Well, again, thank you so much, my man. And just tell everybody what's up with your show and other projects that you got going on.
Okay, I just want to give a shout-out to my guys on my show, Tell It Like It Is, Sports Talk Podcast. We come on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Me, my guy Mike Teasy, Mike Tannehill Jr., and Hakeem Baptiste. We call him Hakeem the Dream. Also, on Tuesday nights, I do a show with a guy named Nader Murphick. Nader Murphick, me and him do a show called Sports Overtime on Tuesday night. So it's a hot show, too. So you want to catch both shows Tuesday night, Wednesday night, we do a show called The Aftermath, immediately after the Saints play. And thank you for having me on your show, man.
Oh, man, you're welcome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media and any websites. Let them know that as well.
Oh, yeah. Facebook, Ezell Knox, Soul Saint on Facebook. Soul Saint 2009 Instagram is my Instagram, and at Soul Saint 1 is my Twitter. So anytime you want to reach me or anything like that, my email, soulsaint1@yahoo.com. So anytime you want to get in touch with me, I'm all ears. I'll be available. Thank you.
Awesome. You're welcome. And before I let you go, you know, New Orleans is a city where people just love coming and love visiting, getting the taste of the culture. And, of course, the city is known for its world-class cuisine. So I want to ask you this. Whenever you're at a Saints game, what are some of your favorite foods that you enjoy eating, whether it be at a Saints game or it could just be maybe at a tailgate or if you're at the privacy, in the privacy of your own home? What do you enjoy eating?
When I'm at home, I usually enjoy wings. You know, I usually have like wings and maybe some red beans or something like that. So it's always good. I'm hardly ever at home for a Saints game. So But that's what I do when I'm usually at home. When I'm at the game itself, I usually would do the alligator sausage, or I do the all beef sausage, or I do the nachos with everything on it, or I do the shrimp. You know, I love the shrimp at the Dome, the shrimp and fries. But as far as like tailgates and things like that, hey, whatever they got on the grill, man. I went to one tailgate, they had barbecue ribs, they had baked beans, potato salad. So, you know, I'm always looking, hey, when you got some good food. And let me tell you something, we do a tailgate at Harley-Davidson of New Orleans for all the away games. So I'm just letting people know it's free food, free beer, free drinks, soda, all that. So, you know, you don't get free beer, you know, everywhere. So this tailgate, and it's inside. So every week, you know, we have good food. I think one week we had brisket, and one week we had burgers, potato salad, baked beans. So, hey, it's always good at Harley-Davidson of New Orleans. So, you know, come on out and enjoy yourself, man.
Awesome, awesome. Only in New Orleans, I tell you that, my man. And yeah. Again, tell everybody where they can find you on social media and your website.
Mm-hmm. Yes. My website is down right now. It was soulsaint.com, but it's down right now. But like I said, my social media handles, Facebook, Ezell Knox, Instagram, soulsaint2009. My Twitter is soulsaint1. So, yep. TikTok, soulsaint10. So, you know, try to do it. I don't do the Snapchat and all that, you know. But as far as the regular social media, that's what you got. That's my handles.
Awesome. And you heard it from him. He is Soul Saint, one of the members of the Who Dat Nation, and, of course, always repping his saints to the fullest. Thank you so much again. If ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Okay. And thank you for having me, man. You have a happy holidays, man. I wish everybody happy holidays and Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Same to you, my man. Happy holidays to you as well. We'll be back with more right after this.
Second and nine. What a pump fake, and then to the near side, Hill. Taysom Hill, touchdown, Saints. 4 seconds back on the clock, a minute 32 left, and this one's back. Intercepted by DeMario Davis. It'll be a 21-yard chip shot for Will Lutz. And he knocks it through. Lutz knocks it through from 29. Brady is sacked. Shai Tuttle was in there, and Tano Passanio. Brady, end zone, touchdown, Buck. Cade Otten. Dalton down the middle. Hill! Incomplete as it was knocked away by Keanu Neal. Third down. Underneath. And touchdown, Rashad White. Tie game with the extra point to come. Flag on the play. Extra point is good, but a flag is down.
1 point try was successful.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. At ADP, turning unpredictability into an advantage is what we do. Using data-driven insights, we design HR solutions to help businesses work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
Satsuma IPA, made with local Satsumas. How local? Local is beating the heat like it was an Atlanta football team. Try Datsuma IPA from Faubourg Brewery, the New Orleans way to IPA.
It's an old-fashioned Griswold family Christmas at Raising Cane's.
There it is.
Celebrate with chicken fingers and cane sauce, crispy crinkle-cut fries, and garlicky buttered Texas toast. Happy Christmas from Raising Cane's and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. One love. It's an old-fashioned Griswold family Christmas at Raising Cane's.
There it is.
Celebrate an enduring tradition with kith and kin and hand-battered cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce. And introducing...
Drumroll, please.
Plush puppies that benefit local pet organizations and the gift cards that keep on giving the whole year.
Hey.
Happy Christmas from Raising Cane's and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. One love. If this tastes half as good as it looks, you're in for a real treat.
Usually you can pick a lot, a little, or somewhere in the middle. That's why Cox now offers flexible internet plans, giving you all the services you desire and nothing you don't require. Additional services can be added at then current regular rates.
Unsportsmanlike conduct, leverage on New Orleans.
It's an old-fashioned Griswold family Christmas at Raising Cane's.
There it is.
Celebrate with chicken fingers and cane sauce, crispy crinkle-cut fries, and garlicky buttered Texas toast. Happy Christmas from Raising Cane's and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. One love.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Businesses need to think beyond today. That's why ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help your business find more success tomorrow. HR, time, talent, benefits, payroll. ADP, always designing for people.
It's an old-fashioned Griswold family Christmas at Raising Cane's.
There it is.
Celebrate with chicken fingers and cane sauce, crispy crinkle-cut fries, and garlicky buttered Texas toast. Happy Christmas from Raising Cane's and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. One love.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
In my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Spring training is right around the corner. So come for the games and have a ball in Arizona. With world-class resorts, unbeatable dining and nightlife, amazing scenery, and endless outdoor adventure. Make your visit unforgettable. Plan your getaway at myspringtraining.com.
It's time to take control of your investing education. TD Ameritrade's fully immersive curriculum includes a wide range of educational resources to match your preferred style of learning. Rated Best in Class Education 2022 by stockbrokers.com. Learn more at tdameritrade.com/education resources.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Soul Saint, unofficial mascot and super fan for the New Orleans Saints and a diehard member of the Who Dat Nation. Thank you to, again, the Soul Saint for giving us the expertise on his beloved New Orleans Saints, and hopefully they can get it together the rest of the way. All right, before we give you the preview of Week 15's most important games in the National Football League. We want to say big ups to former Indianapolis Colts wide receiver T.Y. Hilton. He recently signed with the Dallas Cowboys. So T.Y. Had some great seasons with the Indianapolis Colts and hopefully can continue his NFL career on a high note, on the up and up. And again, big ups to T.Y. Hilton, former Indianapolis Colts wide receiver, signing with, all right, let's do this. Here's Week 15's most important games. A big Thursday night matchup between the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks. Hey, this rivalry has been intense since they realigned the divisions in the NFL. Really, over the last decade or so, this rivalry has been must-see TV. When you think of the history of this rivalry, you think of the names of Jimmy Garoppolo and Russell Wilson, in beast mode, Marshawn Lynch, also Doug Baldwin, Alex Smith, Frank Gore, Richard Sherman, the Legion of Boom, just to name a few. And this game has the potential of possibly having this game could be the potential of two teams jockeying for position to possibly win the NFC West. First, for the 49ers, they have been really the hottest team in the NFL right now, really next to the Philadelphia Eagles. The 49ers continue their winning streak. Quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo was hurt last week with a foot injury. Brock Purdy comes in and did a solid performance in the game against Miami. And then last we saw Purdy in his first career NFL start just dismantle Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So Purdy has his first road game of the year's first road start against the Seattle Seahawks. Now, he is questionable for this game. It looks like that he may start, in this game against the Seahawks. But, man, I tell you one thing, in addition to Purdy having his injury, Deebo Samuel will not play in this game. Deebo suffered an injury last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It looked pretty nasty in the beginning, but the good news is that there was no structural damage reported, but he's going to be out for just at least maybe two games. They said he should be back before the end of the regular season. But regardless of the top position players on the offensive side, defensively, San Francisco is explosive. Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, also Azeez Al-Shaahir, just to name a few. Jimmy Ward has played nice also. Talanoa Hufanga has played tremendously. So the 49ers have the number one defense in the NFL, and they're going to take the show on the road to the Pacific Northwest to take on the Seattle Seahawks. Man, the Seahawks had a tough loss last week to the Carolina Panthers. Geno Smith is definitely going to be the leading candidate to win the league comeback player of the year. But this is an important game for Seattle. This is an important game for San Francisco in terms of trying to wrap up the NFC West. But this is an extremely important game for Seattle because it gets them closer to possibly winning the division title. And then, too, Geno Smith possibly could be the league's comeback player of the year. Also, Kenneth Walker is a candidate for rookie of the year. He's expected to play. Of course, you know about DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. So San Francisco and Seattle on Thursday night is going to be an exciting one. Now, one of the games that we have on Saturday night is going to be the Baltimore Ravens going up against the Cleveland Browns. First, for Baltimore, tough game, tough victory over their rival Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC North. Now, as far as the quarterback situation for Baltimore is concerned, Tyler Huntley suffered a concussion. Most likely he's not going to play in this game. But what you know about Baltimore, they always have a tight defense and great running game. Of course, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, we're going to see a lot of them in this contest. And as far as the Ravens defense is concerned, they've been solid for much of the year. They're going to be going up against the Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson, still trying to find his way into the offense. And he's going to have to find his way. He's going to have to get it done in a hurry because the Browns still have a chance to possibly win the AFC North. But Baltimore is on their heels. Cincinnati is always in the mix as well. Pittsburgh doesn't have much of a chance, but Pittsburgh can play spoiler this year. So the Baltimore Ravens against the Cleveland Browns should be a fun one and a hard-hitting one in Cleveland. We have the nightcap of the Saturday triple header between the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills. First for Miami, tough loss on Sunday Night Football to the Los Angeles Chargers, Tua Tagovailoa. Let's see what's going to happen with the situation with Tua and, of course, Tyreek Hill. I wonder how that passing game is going to react because the game time temperature in Buffalo, they're expecting snow in the forecast. So this is going to be right up Buffalo's alley, Josh Allen, an effective player. We know Josh, rain, sleet, snow, hail, he's going to get his, whether throwing the ball or running the ball. Stephon Diggs, Dawson Knox, no worries. Buffalo's going to get it done, whether it be rain, sleet, snow, hail, or sunshine. So, again, this is going to be an intense game. When is it in an intense home game in Buffalo? It's going to be snowing. As they say, one monkey don't stop, no show with the Buffalo Bills fans. And we got a good one in the AFC East between the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills. Next game is going to be the Detroit Lions versus the New York Jets. First for the Lions and the Jets, of course, the Jets lost a tough game to the Buffalo Bills last week. Of course, Mike White, about, you know, for all of the numbers that he puts up, he's tough as nails, and he has earned the respect of his teammates, and he's going to have to display that toughness going up against a team that has been red hot as of late, and that's the Detroit Lions. Winning last week over the Minnesota Vikings, Dan Campbell, definitely a candidate for head coach of the year. Jared Goff played nicely, passed for over 300 yards in the win over Minnesota. Jamal Williams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, just to name a few. Those guys have been playing solid, of course, on the defensive side, Aiden Hutchinson. So the Lions and the Jets, the last time the Lions played on the East Coast were in New Jersey, to be exact. They had a big win over the New York Giants. So Lions and Jets should be a fun one at the Meadowlands in New Jersey. The Tennessee Titans square off against the Los Angeles Chargers. First for the Titans, again, Tennessee losing a tough one to the Jacksonville Jaguars last week at home. Ryan Tannehill looking to right that wrong. You know, Derrick Henry is chomping at the bit right now. I know he's had had time to think about that loss. He's going to be ready to go against the Los Angeles Chargers. As for the Chargers, Justin Herbert doing what Justin Herbert does best, and that's throw the ball a lot and get big numbers. And he did that last week in the Sunday Night Football win against the Miami Dolphins. Not just Justin Herbert, but you got a healthy dose of Austin Eckler, Josh Palmer, Keenan Allen, just to name a few. A solid defense for the Chargers. And this is going to be a good one down in out in Inglewood, California at SoFi Stadium between the Tennessee Titans and the Los Angeles Chargers. Should be an eventful one. The Cincinnati Bengals square up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. First for Cincinnati. Cincinnati had a big win last week over their in-state rival, the Cleveland Browns. Joe Burrow didn't wow you in terms of the numbers, but solid game for him. Also, you had some contributions on the defensive side as well. As for Tampa Bay, embarrassed last week by the San Francisco 49ers. Tom Brady, not much we can say about him, not much we can say about the rest of the team. But the only thing we can say is that this is expected to be a bounce-back game for the Bucs. They're going to be playing at home, going up against one of the hottest teams in the league right now with the Cincinnati Bengals. So Bengals and Bucs down in Tampa should be an exciting one. The Sunday Night Football game, it's a flex game between the New York Giants and the Washington Commanders. First for the Giants, were embarrassed at home last week by their division rival, NFC East division rival, New York Giants. The Philadelphia Eagles, excuse me. So the Giants went through the embarrassment last week at the Meadowlands in Jersey, being embarrassed by the Philadelphia Eagles. The Commanders, the last time these two teams played was 2 weeks ago, ended in a 20-20 tie. This time, this game is going to be played at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. Giants and Commanders, it's an NFC East showdown. It's something that a lot of fans have been waiting for this game. I know I've been waiting for this one for almost 2 weeks now. The first game when they played 2 weeks ago, it ended in a tie at 20. I know that this game could possibly determine the winner of this game. It could determine who wins the NFC East or maybe get a playoff spot with these last few weeks left in the regular season. New York Giants, Washington Commanders, Sunday Night Football should be an eventful one at Landover, Maryland at FedEx Field. Monday Night Football, the Los Angeles Rams going up against the Green Bay Packers. For the Rams, Baker Mayfield, last week on Thursday Night Football, he has a come-from-behind victory, throwing a touchdown pass, helping the Rams beat the Raiders by 1 point, 17-16. So Baker is definitely enjoying the fruits of his labor from that game last Thursday night. For the Green Bay Packers, they had a bye week last week, and the week before that, the Packers had an impressive win over their longtime rival, the Chicago Bears. So Aaron Rodgers, he's determined to finish the rest of the season. He says he's going to do it. Only time will tell. He'll take it week by week. The Packers still have hope to get a playoff spot. And is the season over for Green Bay? Not just yet, but it's going to have to depend, of course, on the two-time back-to-back reigning league MVP, and, of course, his position players, his wide receivers, running backs, Aaron Jones, also A.J. Dillon, and, of course, defensively, the Packers are going to have to get it done. It should be an eventful one. It is going to be a chilly one in Lambeau Field Monday night. They're expecting the temperature at kickoff to be in the single digits, but similar to Buffalo, Green Bay, one monkey doesn't stop a show. And the cold, the frigid temperatures, the frozen tundra at Lambeau Field is going to be an eventful one. And again, one monkey doesn't stop no show when it comes to Packer fans. Monday night, Los Angeles Rams versus the Green Bay Packers. Now it's time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the Cincinnati Bengals versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. First for Cincinnati, Joe Burrow. They're peaking at the right time. Not only is Joe Burrow peaking at the right time, but you also have Ja'Marr Chase back from the hip injury. You also have Samaje Perine, who's playing great in the absence of Joe Mixon. T. Higgins has played nicely as of late as well. And on the defensive side, what can you go wrong about this team? Defensively, Cincinnati has picked it up, and they're playing at the right time. Currently, they have a record of 9-4, and they're starting to look like the Cincinnati of last year. This is kind of like the run that they had last year, peaking right at the right time, winning when it matters the most, going from late November going into early January. So with Joe Burrow being Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase getting back into his groove from the hip injury, Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins have played well. Also, you've got Samaje Perine, also Joe Mixon. They're playing nicely as well. So with Cincinnati peaking at the right time, they're going up against a team that has been shaky really for much of the year, and that's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Leonard Fournette hampered by injuries. Mike Evans has played okay. Chris Godwin has been good when he's healthy. Julio Jones, he's been good when he's healthy. At the tight end, now the two tight ends have played, well, the rookie tight end, Tate Oden, has played nicely in the absence of Cameron Brate. And TB12, Tom Brady. I mean, what can you say about Tom Brady? Shaky much of the year. We know about the personal problems, but has started to put it together despite that abysmal loss to the San Francisco 49ers last week. So we've got, at the end of the day, we know the NFL is a quarterback league, and it's all about two people involved in this, Joe Burrow versus Tom Brady. The Cincinnati Bengals versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think it's going to be an exciting one, and it's my game of the week. All right, before we get on out of here, I want to give you my picks on who I think will win Week 15's most important games in the NFL. Thursday Night Football, the San Francisco 49ers versus the Seattle Seahawks. I like San Francisco to win that game. The Baltimore Ravens versus the Cleveland Browns. I like the Cleveland Browns to win this one. The Miami Dolphins versus the Buffalo Bills. I like Buffalo to win that game. The Detroit Lions versus the New York Jets. I like Detroit to win that game in the New Jersey Meadowlands. The Tennessee Titans versus the Los Angeles Chargers. I like the Chargers to win that game. My game of the week, the Cincinnati Bengals versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I like Tampa Bay to win that one. A very close game, I think, is going to be. Sunday Night Football, the New York Giants versus the Washington Commanders. I like the Washington Commanders to win that game. Monday Night Football, the Los Angeles Rams versus the Green Bay Packers. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think Aaron Rodgers is going to put on a show in the frigid temperatures at Lambeau Field. I like Green Bay to win that game. So my picks for Week 15's most important games are San Francisco, Cleveland, Buffalo, Detroit, LA Chargers, Tampa Bay, Washington, and Green Bay. There you have it. That's going to do it for another exciting edition of the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Soul Saint, unofficial mascot and superfan for the New Orleans Saints, and a diehard member of the Who Dat Nation. Of course, Soul Saint, dedicated diehard to his city and the New Orleans Saints. Again, a big special thank you to him. Until next time, everybody, I'm Matt Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to the League Wraparound.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Moms are amazing at tracking down hard-to-find items. Library books, socks, you name it. But sometimes help is welcomed. Care.com makes it easy to find babysitters near you. Sitters with the experience and skills your family needs, like after-school pickup and homework help. You just post a job for qualified sitters to apply. And since all Care.com caregivers are background checked, you can feel confident about interviewing and hiring. To get the child care help you need, sign up now at Care.com.
Guys, 2022's been a roller coaster year, so spoil her this Christmas by giving her the next best thing to wearing nothing at all. With soft, silky, naturally nude pajamas, exclusively from Pajamagram. Sensuous and smooth, naturally nude pajamas feel just like her own bare skin, even more alluring than lingerie. The texture and touch of these pajamas is so seductive that you'll both love the feel of them. She'll love the feeling of wearing next to nothing at all, and you'll love the way they look. Best of all, Pajamagram does the wrapping for you with free gift packaging. Order today, and Pajamagram will also include a free matching naturally nude nightie with the purchase of naturally nude pajamas. That is free gift packaging and a free naturally nude nightie when you order today. Just go to pajamagram.com. It's fast, easy, and delivery by Christmas is guaranteed. That's pajamagram.com.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Podcasting is hard, but it doesn't have to be. Introducing The Science of a Podcast, hosted by Spreaker from iHeart. This weekly podcast looks at the many sides of the podcasting industry, from success, growth, and technology to the varying challenges we all face. This is one podcast about podcasting you don't want to miss. New episodes launch every Tuesday. Listen to The Science of a Podcast on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.